Turn in your Bibles to Psalms, the 119th chapter. If you go in your Bible and literally open it halfway and then like go a little bit back to the left, you'll find it. It's Psalms. 119, we'll be looking at verses 9 through 16. I'll be preaching out of the King James Version of the Bible, mostly a little bit out of the English Standard Version, just because of the nuances in the way that these guys talk, the way that it was translated. It's great. We're going to be talking a little bit about purity today. That term purity in American society is a four-letter word. You know? We teach that pretty much everything other than what God said is right, and when in fact it's wrong. And the question that starts here is, by what means may the next generation be better than this? Now, before I go too far along, let's go ahead and get into God's word, right? Not Dave's word, but God's word. Psalms 119, verse 9. You'll see at the very beginning, it probably says Beth on there. Psalm 119, I'm sure you've already heard this, but it's broken down into 22 subsections. It's the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It makes an acrostic. Everything started with the letter each first verse was. All right. So Beth says this, God's word says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, Lord God, I come to you. I thank you for your word, and I pray that as we delve into it, as we talk about your word and we hear your word, that it would change our lives and our hearts, that we would listen, that we'd follow it. Father, as I preach, I pray that the words would not be mine, but that they would be yours. I know that I have nothing that these people need to say, but I know that your word is all that they need. And I praise you and thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross for our sins. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. Now we're going to be talking about statutes. Who knows what a statute is? The law? For those that don't know, I'm part of the fun police, right? If you go on the highway and you do something that you think would be fun, I come and write you a ticket. Okay, that's what I do for a living. I work for the state of Nevada. And we deal with statutes and laws. And so I'm going to give some definitions real quick. Statutes, laws, a law or decree made by God, a statement of things to do or not to do. And understand that these statutes, they're not there to say, hey guys, don't go out and have fun doing something. God's statutes are there for a very specific reason. They're telling you how you should live life. If you want to live a happy life, a hopeful life, do it in the manner in which God tells you to do it. And that's the only way it's ever going to work out. He does it to keep us from doing things we were never meant to do. Because he made us. He knows everything about us. Now, as we go through this, and we look at the psalmist talking, I want you to ask yourself something. Is the psalmist a man broken on his knees or in humble adoration to God? That's what I want you to ask yourself as you hear these words. How can a young man cleanse his way? Or as the ESV puts it, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. By taking heed according to your word. According, right? According to your word. How can a man live an upright, correct life? By doing what God commanded them to do. By living the way God told them to live. He goes on and says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart I have sought you. With all my being I have looked for you, considered you. Please, Lord, don't let me wander from your truth, from the way you want me to live. Do not let me go astray. I know me, Father. Do not let me chase after my desires. My desires. I often think back to what it took to bring Dave Lewis to salvation. And I think of people who came to Christ at a young age, who knew Jesus at a young age. And I wish that was me. Right? Because that's my desire. My desire. Knowing Jesus now, that is my desire. But Jesus knew what it took for me to come to Christ. He knew God's like, hey, this is what it's going to take. He knew I was hard-headed, stubborn, right? He knew these things about me. He knew what it would take to bring Dave Lewis to his knees, that I could finally come to him. He knew that. He knew everything about me. I know me. Do not let my thoughts and wants lead me astray. I've seen the glory of following your words, of having it stored up in my heart, able to recall it in times of need, in times of struggle. As the psalmist keeps talking, you know, he's talking about in fighting with flesh. The word must be stored. Stored. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. When I look at my flesh, when you look at your flesh, when you look at the man who you are, or woman, man's a general term, that you are, the more you see where God has brought you from, the more you should long to hold tight to his statutes. Now, how do we know his statutes? The word of God? Okay. How can we abide in his statutes? What do we have to do? Know it. Know it. All right. So how do we do that? We read it. Study it. Yeah. What's the song we use for little kids? How are they supposed to live life so they can know his word? There we go. Right? See, we use simple songs with the idea that it's easier for kids to understand. But see, we must come to Christ as a child. To know him, we must read his Bible and pray every day. Understand that this is not just words on a page. This is the very voice of God. So how do we know it? We read it. We live it. So how can we know God's word? We have it available to read. But it must be stored deeply within us. So deep that it cannot be taken from us. I don't know about you, but I like to scroll through the evil that is Facebook. Right? Excuse me. And I told the first service they had, Mary, Did You Know? Was one of the songs they sang. And I was going to make the joke. There was this joke, you know, memes this week about, I think it was Batman, and he's slapping Robin. And he says, you know, he starts singing Mary, Do You Know? And he goes, yes, it's in Luke. You know, and I was going to make a joke about that, but I'm not going to do that. So the evil that is Facebook, right? We go through it, you're reading it, and those little like 5 and 6 sentence bits are kind of shocking. Generally, they're statements that make you go, you know, kind of like the news, right? What do you see a headline on the news? It's generally not what the thing is actually talking about, right? It's only there to catch your attention, to excite you. And what you read goes in one ear and out the other, right? Or in through the eyes and right back out. You never actually hold it. You don't attain it. It's not a part of you. The Word of God can't be like that. It has to be a part of us. Because when it's merely in our heads, we quickly forget it or get sidetracked. I'm really good at getting sidetracked when trying to remember it. Oftentimes, we seem to think we can learn God's will by osmosis, right? You buy 40 Bibles, you put them in your bed, you fall asleep on them, you start drooling, the drool falls onto the paper, and the stuff in there goes up back into your body. That's osmosis, right? That's how osmosis works. We think that that works sometimes. It's going to slip into our heads and as we rest upon it. The psalmist is telling God that he knows how much God loves him. I know how much you love me. How do I know this? Because you gave me your word. You gave me your truth. Your truth. That's how he knows. And he knows, and he says, I don't want to sin against you, my loving God. Now, what is sin? We define sin as missing the mark, right? You have a target. If you hit anything other than the target, it's a miss. That is how sin is. Sin is the act of transgressing God's commandment. God's commandment. Something I talk about, and I talked about it earlier, and so I don't miss it. I have a question. Has anybody here ever created anything? Truly created something. Taken something from nothing and made something. Nobody? Okay. I'm not the only one. We get into an idea that somehow, like, God doesn't have the right to tell us to do things. He made us. When you start making something, then you can tell God what to do, right? And until that happens, keep that in mind. It's the reason, the idea of transgression. He came up with these commandments to guide us, that we may live our life by them. And so the psalmist is saying, God, I love you so much, I don't want to transgress against you. How do I know my kids love me? When I say something and they do it. I mean, really, and I don't mean that passively. Like, that's one of those things that, like, when I say something and I can see the wheels turning in their head, like, that's not what I did. I'm about to get in trouble. Right? The fleshly side of me, the humanly side of me, the part not regenerated, that doesn't want to follow God. Right? That creature that wasn't made anew, who was not born again, it thinks to itself, man, that kid didn't listen to me. But I know in that moment when my child is in fear, And a proper fear. Not like I'm scared because my dad's about to beat me. But a proper loving fear. I know that he loves me. Because he didn't want to transgress me. And here's what the psalmist says. He says, your word I've hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Teach me your laws. He has hidden the word of God in the deepest part of his person, his heart. An item so deep and so important that one cannot separate one from the other without destruction. What happens if I walk up to you and I go Temple of Doom and pull your heart out, right? What happens? You're dead, right? No more conversation. No more thoughts going through our heads. You're dead. This has to be so close to us that without the word of God, we are dead. The body cannot survive without the heart. And man cannot keep from sinning against God without knowing his word. If I tell you not to speed, right? Do I do it simply because I don't like people driving faster than me? Other than this gentleman up front, do I? No. No. Do you know why the law says you can't speed? It's dangerous, right? We enforce law, or should at least, for the purpose of keeping people safe. Part of what we do at the state, right? The reason that we enforce traffic law, why we write tickets, right? One, it's to change behavior. And the purpose of changing behavior is, I work two-lane highways now, right? So no more multi-lanes, two lanes. I live in McDermott, Nevada. There's no multi-lane highways, right? It's busy, but it's mostly cows. If you have two vehicles traveling towards each other, at the speed limit, which is 70 miles an hour. Okay? They're coming at each other. If they go head on, how fast are they going? 140 miles. You guys are fast. 140 miles an hour. That's a closing speed of 140. It's like you hit a wall while driving recklessly at 140 miles an hour. Well, I don't know how to tell you this. Not too many people survive that. I can actually tell you that every head-on collision I've done this year, they died. I've not done one collision of that nature and not had a death. I missed that the first go-round, but it comes to mind now. The purpose that we have these statutes and these laws is because we want to reduce the number of collisions that happen and the severity of them when they do happen. That's why we have these statutes. Now, going back to God's law, we have these things for a purpose. Why? To keep us from doing those things that are going to hurt us. Those items, right? We cannot keep from sinning against God without knowing his word. We can't keep from disobeying the law without knowing it. God so loved us that he gave us a guide on how to live life. He gave us truth, yet we did not deserve it. He showed us how and why we need to live according to the law of his love. We've done a lot of study in Paul, and I was telling my brother earlier that because of all the study in Paul, it came to me that I needed to start preaching like Paul, and he preached for roughly 8 hours. So, oh, okay. Talking about Paul wrote in Romans the 7th chapter, verse 7, Paul says, yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. We wouldn't have known sin without the law. It had a purpose. And its purpose is to drive us to Jesus. How can we know that which displeases our Father if we won't even crack open this book? Far too often it becomes a place that collects dust. Yeah, it has to be cleaned off. It has to be opened. We have to read it. When we have God's word and we pray to him, what an amazing thing, really. Let me digress, I'm sorry, for about prayer. The fact that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins and became our Redeemer, our Savior, took our place, because that's where you belong, that's where I belong, is upon that cross, and he gave us the ability to talk to God. We don't have to go to somebody else. We go to the man, right? We go straight to God through Christ Jesus. What an amazing thing to be able to talk to God. And so when we know his word and we talk to God, when we truly know it, it's instantaneous. He responds because we knew his word. He's like, hey, I already talked about this. You and I have had this conversation. Guess what? I told them, when this first came truly to reality for me, was a few years back, when I really like, okay, yeah, I guess I really do need to know this word all the time. Part of my sin life, I got drunk and stupid in a little town in Nevada while working undercover work. Not actually on duty, don't. But it was this item that finally like led me to understand. It was when, I think it was probably a couple weeks, maybe a couple months later, we're sitting in one of the back rooms reading through our thing, and it says, do not get drunk on strong wine, for it will make your actions reckless. I went, ooh. Yeah, we already talked about this, Dave. I'd missed my part. He'd already told me not to do it. It was right there, black and white, written in front of me. But it was the item that finally said to me, yeah, no, I have to actually know it. God already told me what to do. I didn't listen. I chose not to. We have choice. I can sit and leave it like that all day long. I can do that. But it's not how it works. So I asked you, a man broken on his knees or in humble adoration to God? What say you? Which one is it? Humble? Okay. Anybody on the other side? Not that there's actual sides. Don't get all worried about it. I'm not picking favorites. I'm going to give you the answers before it's all done. Who said that? Both A and B. I agree. Is a man broken on his knees in humble adoration to God? And if you start out in humble adoration to God, you will be a man broken upon your knees. We talked about knowing the word. And the thing is, like, when you look back through the Old Testament leads to one thing, right? We're at Christmas time. A proclamation was made, right? God's word leads to Jesus Christ. If the Hebrews had his word within them, they would not have missed that he was the Christ. And don't get me wrong, not all of them did. Those who knew the word, right? Nicodemus asked Jesus straight up, like, hey, what do we have to do? Well, you got to be born again, man. He knew the word. He knew this was the Christ. He had the word in there. Before you lies a path. If you got here today, you took a path, right? Many paths led here. Whether or not you came in from Rancho Haven, I could not remember Rancho Haven the first service because I've been out of town too long. You could have come in from Sun Valley or Lemon Valley, the back way like we used to do. You could have come south on the 395 from Cold Springs. You could have come north from the rest of Reno, right? There were many ways there. Before you lie many paths. However, only one of them will take you to God. His path is narrow. It's narrow, but it leads to the truth, the way, and the life. I love that term, the way, when Christ defined himself that. It didn't say a way. It's very specific. It says the, single form. The way. He says, I'm the truth. And the life. Christ calls us to it. To himself. To follow his word. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. We need to know it so that we know the truth, the way, and the life. It's one of those things we have to do. I like those little acronyms and stuff. When we're going through life, we need to ask a question. Our life must be lived according to this. So we get back to what was like the 1980s, WWJD, right? That was all over the place. What's sad is I hated it when I was a kid because I didn't know Jesus. I was just kind of like, you know, I went to church. I grew up in the church, not this church, but a church. But I never knew Jesus. I knew there was a God. At times I thought I was him, but I realized I wasn't God. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know God. And so I love those things. That question, what would Jesus do? That should be the underlying question of everything we do as believers in Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus, understand there's a person who came to earth for the sole purpose of dying for your sins and taking your place. There's nothing more amazing that in all of life than that. There's literally nothing else that matters more. There are no laws on earth that are more important than God's laws. These are the most important. Everything is secondary to the Word of God. So the first thing we have to do is get into the Word of God and get the Word of God in you. Right? I use little quotes like that, and I know that they seem like, oh, you know, that's a bumper sticker. But kind of like, read your Bible, pray every day. That sticks with you. How long ago did you teach somebody, read your Bible, pray every day? They're all grown up, right? They're my age. They're getting married, having kids age. She still knows it, right? We have to get his word into us. It has to be a part of us. It has to be the fabric that weaves us together. MacArthur would put it this way. Internalizing the word is a believer's best weapon to defend against encroaching sin. I put it like this. The best defense is a good offense. Right? And Ephesians 6 defines the sword of the Spirit as the Word of God. Right? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. If you're going to do battle with the devil, and again, we don't really actually do the battle. The war is won, right? We're skirmishers. We fight little battles and we're really just the tools used to do it. God is the one who fights the battle. So it has to be his word. It has to be God's word, not Dave Lewis's word, because guess what? Dave Lewis's word will get you arrested. That's it. It will not save you. God's word will save. So it has to be his word, his spirit, which means it must be a part of us, a part of our fabric. Brothers and sisters, remember that path is narrow, but it leads to God. And God calls us to take up our cross and follow him. He said, "Who is my mother and my brother?" Right? "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." And how are we to do his will if we won't learn his word? But by knowing his word, that is the only way. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for just this opportunity to come and preach your word. And that's it. It's your word. And I pray that as a body of believers, we would come to know your word. That we would come to live your word, because it came with a price that was paid by you. That we would live according to it. That we would not sin against you. Lord, as I preach and I pray now, I know that there are people in this body who don't know you. And I would simply ask that you would make them broken on their knees. They would come to you in humble adoration. That they would accept the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you gave upon the cross for us. And you took our place. That's what I pray for, Lord. It's in your holy and precious name, Father, that I pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.